about you? What's on your mind?
This has been an interesting few months because things have slowed down in terms of incoming demand, but we've had some projects to work on, so I think it's been good in terms of catching up, but it's always a little bit busy, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. Things are good, just busy.
Nothing. I don't think anything really new from the last time. Well, I think, Rob, it wasn't just you and I last time. And I think it's nothing really has kind of changed. Although I think I do see a different mindset. You know, Kyle and I, we had an ACAT that was a client that was looking to transfer out, and we were thinking, oh, this is probably a good opportunity. This fits in line with, you know, having to kind of peer off some of the smaller accounts that aren't, you know, where our focus is. So, I still think that's still kind of top of mind of everything that's kind of happening with the program and the suggestion and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, we call that segmenting by ACATs.
Yes. Sort of. However.
The problem with segmenting by ACATs is it could be one of your best clients.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that's what got us started on Supernova. It wasn't a desire to grow. It was a desire to keep our clients. And we had a direct threat. We had a direct threat called Oxford Financial, and they were a fee-only financial planning firm that just said, "Why would you ever do business with a broker? Because they have a conflict of interest. They make money when you buy, make money when you sell, and so they get paid to basically churn. Do business with us, we're fiduciaries, and we only do business based on a fee." And at that time, that was pretty radical. And so people with 5 million and above, which was their minimum, were moving to them. And so we were losing some of our best clients. So we had to reinvent ourselves really fast and go from becoming brokers to being financial advisors. And we could duplicate the financial planning. We could duplicate the fee only. We could, in a sense, adopt the fiduciary mindset. And we stopped the outflow, and we actually brought some of the clients back. But we had to really be organized to do that, and we had to be skinny. We couldn't do it with a large number of clients. So we went from 650 clients per FA down to 200. And then since then, the average person doing Supernova effectively is about 70 clients. And that gives you the time to grow and to have balance in your life and live. But anyway, that's... That's kind of the rationale behind it. But ACATs are always a wake up call, you know? They're like, whoa, how'd that happen?
Yeah, and I think for me too, it's, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but in terms of the fee only, I think our mindset is good in that sense, like new money managed. Old money, we're working on making it managed. If it's not, yeah, maybe we'll let it sit there. But I think in that area, we're doing good. Lately, it's just been a lot of, I was joking with Cindy the other day. We've spent a lot of time lately, basically trying to blend together what's brokerage and what's not into one custom model. So the past few weeks and month or couple months have been a lot of time just building custom models for one client at a time, which is fine because once they're set up, they'll run themselves. But it's the type of thing where it feels good to get it done, but then you realize you haven't talked to a client all day, and it's like, damn, I got that done, but no one knows it but me and Keith and Cindy. And I know it'll pay off later, but it's just a weird feeling. But I also feel like, to an extent, Keith's mindset's changed a little bit too, so it'll never completely change, but we kind of have to get organized on our own level, if that makes sense.
Well, you guys should, you know, at the minimum, take your top 50 clients and put them in Supernova. If you don't do that, you are really not showing the intelligence that I know you have. I mean, you really are at risk if you're not talking to your best clients every month. I mean, it's just is what it is. I could come into that town and take clients from everybody with a Supernova model. You know, when was the last time you talked to your FA? Oh, 6 months ago. Well, that's not what we do. So it just really is so simple. And then you don't ever spend a day like you did where you never talk to a client. You know, you're at least talking to five clients a day, or three or two or five or something like that. And they're all scheduled appointments, so you don't have any choice. So you don't have to worry about any discipline. It just is what it is. Cindy sets it up. You do it and you talk to them. You don't need to do everybody. Just do the ones you don't, you know. I had a dentist had a sign that every time I walked in there, sat in his chair, he had a sign on the wall that said, only floss the teeth you want to keep. So only do Supernova with the clients you want to keep. Otherwise, you're really going, you know, I don't know whether we got a hurricane coming or not, or I have no idea what's going on. I really don't know if that client's got an ACATS going on, or who he's talking to, or, I mean, the examples are amazing. You know, one of my people I'm closest to, had an account with Merrill Lynch. Her husband had an account with Merrill Lynch. He sold his business, had about $10 million. Goldman Sachs came along and said, hey, you know, we helped you sell your business. Why don't you move your account to us? So he said, okay. So in the quarter, between the time my financial advisor talked to him, and the next quarter when he talked to him, he sold his business and moved his account. People say to me, well, I only need to talk to him quarterly. I said, oh, sure, as long as they're not important. So do you think it was that guy's obligation to call the financial advisor and say, I'm selling my business? Oh, by the way, I'm going to be a completely different client now, with $10 million versus $2 million? No, it isn't his obligation. It's your obligation to know what the heck's going on by asking him, what's new? What's on your mind? Oh, I'm selling my business. Oh, wow. Terrific. Have you thought about this and this and this? No, that's good. Thanks. Well, meet with our team and we'll talk about it. You only have so many red letter days and people, oh, by the way, the Goldman Sachs guy, he managed to help him blow all 10 million of it. Okay. Between his stupid spending and bad decisions and the investments that he put him in, he lost the money. So not only did he make really good things happen to him, but he really then made very bad decisions that the other financial advisor would have kept him from making. Okay. So I don't care if you don't think it's, you don't care about yourself, care about the client. Care about the client. The client's the one that's going to screw it up because they don't have your advice. Say, well, you know, we're too busy to call him. Too busy to call him more than twice a year or four times a year. Okay. Then you're not too busy to do, you receive ACATs. You know? And that's, you know, that's the exciting thing. You never know when you're going to get one. Well, got a big ACATS today. 10 million. Then you call the client and they go, hey, you weren't there for me. I'm sorry. I'm moving. So, I mean, I've seen it all and I wouldn't recommend what I recommend if it worked for, that it didn't work. You know, I just had a guy that's just doing this 4 months into this, four weeks into doing this. He said he called the center of influence, told him about it. The guy had $1 million with him. He said, you know what? Since you're going to do this, I got another million I'm going to send to you. He said, Rob, that's 50 grand. You know, I'm going to make that more than pays you. So, you know, this is great. He was like, this is great. I'm doing this with everybody. Like I said.
Yeah, and you make a good point too, you know, sounds like a lot, but 50 clients over 30, 31 days is 1.5, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know.
It's funny too, because Harry was showing me a way to tell how many of your clients have been contacted, and our contact is at 91% on 90 days, which is surprisingly high, but, I don't know that that's all phone calls. I think it's either or, but it would be nice to have it a little more organized. Yeah, it's just a matter of doing it and making it a priority, I think, for us and for me. There's just always something else changing or coming down the pipeline that we have to jump to pay attention to, it feels like.
And Kyle, there always will be something else. It's like anything, you know, you don't postpone eating, but you do postpone working out.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, people say I'm too busy to work out. I said, well, you must be too busy to eat then. Right? And, you know, I'm too busy working to work. You know, it's like a farmer that's too busy fixing his barn and he forgets to plant his seed. You know, you just don't prioritize it is what you do. You're just not prioritizing this and saying it's important. That's all. You have time. We all have time. Got plenty of time. If you had to do something, you could start a separate business. I guarantee you, you could have a whole nother business going on because you'd find the time to do it. You could be an office, you could be a resident manager and run an office and do what you're doing as a financial advisor. Meaning give up 50% of your time and you could still be a financial advisor and successful. Because guys do it, right? All the time. So it isn't time, it's priority. Saying, you know what? I gotta do this. I gotta get the field ready, till the field, plant the seeds, water it. And then I can go back to doing our business. But if I don't plant the seed, I'm never gonna get the field to grow. And by the way, I won't have any wintercrete. Well, then you can have corn in the summer. Okay, but that's 40% of your revenues aren't going to be coming in because you didn't plant the winter wheat. So it's just, you know, it's any business prioritizing and saying, this is important. This is going to pay off, but it's not immediate business. So we don't do it. So there's in one of the chapters, there's, basically deferred gratification. Deferred gratification, by the way, is the single most important determinant of success. They've done studies with kids. And kids that are able to defer their gratification were then tracked to see how they did in their lifetime. They're very successful. The deferred gratification is basically, today I'll give you one piece of chocolate. But if you wait 3 days, I will give you 5 pieces of chocolate. The kids do this little math in their head and say, okay, I'll wait 5 days. The other one says, give me the chocolate now. You've seen it with people, right, on their retirement plans. You know, you can receive Social Security at 60 or 61 or something, 62. When do you start?
Usually we push them to 70. Right. As long as they'll wait.
But when are they eligible to take Social Security?
I think 66 and a half or so.
Yeah. Well, you know, it used to be whatever,
full retirement. Yeah. No, it is lower than that if you're willing to take a haircut. Yeah. But
right.
Full payout.
Yeah. I think you can start at like 60 or something. And so all the people that take the one piece of chocolate, they take it at 60, right? But the smart people wait till they're basically 70 and a half or 70, you know. And then they get 40,000 instead of 30 a year. And they live till they're 85, you know. There's a crossover, of course. If you don't think you're going to live, you take it early. But if you think you're going to live, you live to 100, you've killed the system. So that's your deferred gratification. Those are the people that are the smart people. So you may be intellectually smart, but not common sense smart. So
the answer to it is 62. You can start taking it at 62.
Yeah, I thought it was 62. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when's the latest you can take it? And then you're 70 and a 70?
I believe it's 70.
Yeah. So I waited, of course, till I was 70. And now I get twice, I guarantee you, it's about 30 grand at 62. And at 70, it's like 40 grand. Now, does that mean my lifestyle changes? No. Can I afford to wait? Yes. But everybody just think about that. The guy that doesn't need it waits and gets paid the most. People that need it take it early and then get screwed. Yeah, and then they get screwed the rest for the next 30 years when they, till they're 90. So that's what Supernova is. Supernova is all about putting in the work, which isn't long. It takes 3 months to do Supernova. 3 months and you're done and you got a whole new practice. That's all. It's all it takes. And that's complete. That's up and running. I mean, you can do it in 2 months. I've seen guys do it in a weekend. Segment, organize. They're not going to acquire, but they're going to segment and organize. You can get it done you can probably get it done in a month if you worked on it. Especially if it's just 50 clients. I mean, 50 clients is 2.5 a day and with a 20 working day month. So it's 20 days in a month, not 32, 31. With that in mind, you can do 2.5 calls, a day. Just, and the agenda and the executive summary, people go crazy over the executive summary. They think it's the greatest thing in the world. The agenda, they don't quite understand that, but they go along with it. But then when you send them the executive summary, that's when they do the loops. The other thing, Kyle, you're not thinking about is there are other people in your firm that are thinking about retiring. Okay. And they look around and say, okay, I got to leave my business with somebody. Who's the best organized team that there is? It gives amazing service. And they go right past you guys. Okay. So if you were known to have the best, because what do guys care about? Guys and gals that are retiring, what do they care about?
Somebody's going to take care of their friends.
They're going to take care of my clients. They're going to call them. They're going to take care of them. They're not going to screw them up. They're not going to sell them something they don't need. So they're going to leave it with the team that they trust and the team that has a great service model. They're not going to leave it with somebody that's too busy. So you want to appear as though you're not busy at all. You know, when the manager comes around and talks to you, you go, hey, what's going on? Oh, we're anxiously waiting for that $10 million referral you were thinking about giving us. My desk is clean. I'm ready. I can accept that account. Please send it. Right?
Yeah, you make a good point too. Instead of focusing on your time on the smaller accounts you have to call to get rid of, just focus on the top, just make a list of the ones you want to keep and from highest to lowest and just call them, let them know, get a call scheduled. If nothing else, that's the start. And then that'll get some momentum going. And then I don't know how we're going to deal with the getting rid of clients. Our problem is that,
connections.
I think when I looked yesterday, it was 81 account link, 81 people made up 50,000 in revenue. Which is our bottom piece. And if there's actually 80, I'd say there's probably 4 or 5 that would go to the call center. So it's just daunting to think about dealing with that too.
But yeah, don't do it. Just put them in the closet.
I'm thinking just maybe instead of focusing on getting rid of those first so I can focus on the top clients, just spend the next month calling the top 50 and saying, hey, let's get your financial plan up to date. Let's talk whenever, and then a month from then and make it a habit.
Schedule. Don't you do it, Kyle. You're putting it all on you. You got Cindy here who's smart and wants to do this. She'll set the whole thing up for you. And you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but I still have to call and explain it.
You can call and explain it, but then turn it over to her to set up the appointment. It's the same, you know, first, just like this. First Tuesday of the month, 10 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get a call from us. You're going to get an agenda, and you're going to get an executive summary. She can do the whole thing for you. You don't have to do anything. You just come in and plug in like a surgeon. Say, okay, I got to call Rob Knapp at 10 o'clock. Here's the agenda. Go through the agenda. Cindy, here's the executive summary. This is what we agreed to. Cindy sends out the executive summary. You're done. Now you're on to the next one. You don't handle the schedule. You don't do anything. You just call and explain what you're going to do, what Cindy's going to do. Cindy takes care of everything else. If you had a person that didn't want to do this or care, I'd say, you know, you got some management issues.
So that's a good point. Cause I've never met a client who wasn't excited to, of the people we've done it with so far, everybody who I've said, hey, do you want to, we'd like to do this on, you know, we use the whole, you know, we hired a consultant, et cetera, to review the business. And, you know, one of the strategies to implement this plan and to keep it on track is to meet monthly, you know, and most of them are more than willing to do so.
If that comes across, we'll let Keith know, but forward me who you've said that to. And then I can, like Rob says, I can reach out to them and say, hey, I know they talked about getting you on the schedule to do this monthly. You know, let's review some dates and times that work for everybody so that we can get you on the schedule and we can do this going forward. So.
I mean, what professional out there doesn't do that?
Yeah.
I mean, even your hairdresser, you know, not that I need one, but, right? I mean,
and me, I've got my next 6 weeks always planned out 2 times in advance. So there you go.
Right. You'd rather do anything than miss a hairdresser appointment.
Exactly.
Right. So, I mean, and you're not more important than the hairdresser? Not according to Cindy.
You know, it's funny too, though, because
a lot of schedules around my hairdresser.
Right.
I was just going to say too, you know, out of the people who I have a monthly call scheduled with, I have not received a call from any of them since we started.
You won't.
And I know that's repetitive because you told us that, but it's still kind of.
Oh yeah. You got to do it yourself. None of this.
Just the proof in the pudding.
You won't believe me on anything until you do it. I mean, you won't believe that you'll actually collect more money from clients until you do it. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, by the way, I've got another 500,000 or I got a million. And that would just, that probably just wouldn't happen, or it might take 6 months to make it happen.
Yeah. And I think too, I think a client would, you know, give or take a few, I think a client could understand when you put it in the numbers, you know, hey, you're paying us what, $300 a year. Half of that, you know, half plus goes to Morgan Stanley. The rest gets split between a team of three.
Yeah.
And we're going to provide you with this service. You know, and three people to pick up your phone call when you need something, you know. I think it's just mentally thinking about.
Well, just get busy doing the things that are most important, and then you won't have time for the others. And don't worry about getting rid of them. I mean, that to me, that's so unimportant compared to calling your top 50 clients to protect you guys.
Yeah, I think I've been looking at it backwards. Instead of choosing who to leave and focus on that person to get rid of them, it's just redirect the attention at the best and
right,
and solidify that to make sure they're not going anywhere. And then let the rest fall away if they want to, and if not.
Yeah, you're not getting it. You want to select who you get the ACATs from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess too, you know, you get the call, hey, why haven't I heard from you? Well, this is why.
Yeah, I mean,
okay with that, you can stick around. But if you want more service, get the minimum or find somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be rude, and it does affect your brand. But, you know, you got to prioritize your time. Get the first 50 solidified. Get them locked in. And then you can fiddle around with these people. Okay. And then you've got a good model. You got the folders there. You and Cindy are working together. Everything's going smooth. And Keith comes along and goes, what are you guys doing? And you're like,
yeah, because at the end of the day, I think if nothing else, even just having a monthly call with everybody, all the other minutia that comes up will flow through that, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It does. That's why we do it. I mean, you have a place to take notes and put down, you know, if you're thinking of something, what's, you know, it was just a bombing in Beirut, or, you know, well, how's that going to affect my portfolio? Don't call. We'll talk about it this month, you know?
And kind of what I like about also focusing in on those people is just making sure that, you know, we are supplying them everything that the firm has to offer too, you know, the reserve giving and living and stuff like that. And I mean, cause that's where a lot of this position falls into. Like we go into agenda, I know something's coming up. Oh, okay. Well, hey, this is what I found. This is what they don't have. This is what they have. Let's talk about what we can do to get them if they're interested in it. Or, and then slowly as the firm, you know, with Morgan Stanley Online, if there's somebody that isn't on, we can work on getting them on or whatever. I mean, I still think, you know, it might increase our numbers, or eventually when the smaller people start falling off, those kind of increase those numbers too. So I'm thinking long-term that way.
True. Yeah. And that could almost be like a second. It's like you have your personalized agenda and executive summary, and then you have the second page agenda, which is like, here's the five things we want everybody to utilize. And then do they have it already or not? And, you know, we address that as we go in.
Well, you could take one of those items and make that a monthly focus, an administrative focus.
Yeah.
You know, so this month we're going to make sure everybody's using XYZ. And that just goes on the agenda. Cindy's in charge of that, and she just makes sure you guys have it on the agenda. And then she calls and follows through, and you just say, by the way, I'd like, you know, set up a call with Cindy, just get you online. They go, sure, okay. Cindy calls, follows up, and boom, you're online. Easy peasy. Knock down the five things. You don't have to sell it. You don't have to do it. The first thing.
And if it's easier, I mean, I think, I know you said top 50 clients, but maybe we work with the top 10 first and then knock them out. And then, because then it doesn't feel like you're, you know, taking a bite out of the whale. You're just taking a bite out of a little fish, as opposed to, and then eventually it becomes, right, you know, that much bigger. Cause I think that's kind of sometimes, at least for me, it gets a little daunting where I'm thinking, okay, here's the large picture. We need, we want to do it to this amount. And sometimes it feels overwhelming. So maybe if we take it down and we focus 5 to 10 people, get them settled, then work on the next 5 to 10 people and kind of incorporate them in, and that kind of thing, as opposed to, okay, here's the 50, you know, why don't we start with the first top five, kind of work this in and go from there.
Yeah.
You can do, you know, you want to keep after it. So you don't want to make it like, I'm going to do one this week. You want to say, okay, how many can I do a day that it doesn't make me crazy? So I can do 3 a day. So I'll call 3 people a day and sign them up, and Cindy will send out the folder and I'll have my folder, and we'll be set. Okay. Cindy will follow up and get the time and schedule and put it in the scheduler, that, and then she'll tell me who I need to call next month. So my goal is 3 a day. I'm just going to call 3 a day, and boom, you're there. Pretty soon you got them all done, and you're like, wow, how'd that happen? That wasn't that hard. Okay, and then you guys get really organized and really working together beautifully. And then Keith will go, hey, this looks pretty good. I think I'll do 5.
He just jumps in.
Yeah, he says, I'll do 5, okay?
Well, yeah, or just keep it really simple and call. First call was today. It was great. I'm going to put the next month on your calendar, and if you want to join, you can join, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he can do his own, and, you know, so he ends up, you got 50 signed up, and then he goes, and he does 50 of his, and great. That's it. That's about 90% of Supernova. The rest of it is, you know, lots of really good ideas on how to run your practice and all kinds of stuff, but if you can just keep the clients that you're paying you now, guarantee against ACATS, then you got 90% of it done. So do your, Kyle, you'll feel better about everything if you do this. You know, it gets rid of the guilt. It's guilt that we all carry around because we're not doing what we know we should be doing. It kills you. Guilt's a terrible thing to carry around. And we all do it. We carry it around. Oh crap, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I should be doing this. I should be calling these people. Spent the whole day and it was good, but I didn't call anybody.
Yeah, you're right. Cause it's, I was trying to think when we were talking the other day, Cindy and I, it's like, I went home and my thought was, is this the way it's always going to be? You know, like you can't check out, like, no matter what schedule you work, no matter what, you're always leaving unfinished and coming back the next day. Like, right, you know, if you're not there first thing, you're just waiting for it to hit the fan. You know what I mean? So this would give us a much more structured way to, you know, my 5 appointments for the day are done. And, you know, the next 5 aren't expecting anything till tomorrow. If an emergency comes up, we'll deal with it. But
Hotel California. You can check out any time, but you can never leave. So, yeah, you
and,
know what?
And Rob, just give me your boilerplate example for explaining how you'd explain it to a client. Like if I was your client, you do it really well. So I'm just,
yeah, I just simply say to them, you know, the good news is that our partnership is working out great. The bad news is that it's working out so well. We're getting too busy and we're worried about the level of service that we're able to give to our clients. We want to make sure we standardize that service. So we hired a consultant to do a review of our practice. And together we came up with a plan. And this is the plan. We are going to offer an exceptional client experience, more like a concierge experience. And this is what it will include. Multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. And how does that sound? And when you're prospecting, Kyle, how does that compare to what you're getting now? And everybody goes, wow, that's amazing. How are you going to be able to do that? Because we're going to limit our practice to less than 100 clients each. And they'll be like, wow, okay, am I one of them? And you go, yes, you'll be pleased to know that you're one of them. And here's what we're going to do. And then you lay out their obligation to you. You're going to do all of this. What are they going to do? They're going to feel guilty. Yeah. They're getting more. Is this going to cost me more? Is what they're thinking. And in reality, you can simply say no, but here's what we would like from you. We'd like you to be there when we call. And if you can't be there, you call Cindy and let her know or email her. Right?
Yep.
Somebody is,
Making noise. I don't know what. Oh, he's
had to let somebody in or something. They were knocking on.
No, he's, I think he's going somewhere so he can talk quietly.
No,
maybe.
I'm just going in the office.
Yeah.
We're in the process of figuring out how to arrange the office so we can fit us in here. But, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I guess part of me, what am I trying to say? I guess part of me was hesitant in the beginning, just to kind of let Keith do this the way he wanted to. But I think what I'm realizing is that he's okay with whatever the group's okay with. You know what I mean? Like, we just need to do this at this point in time. We need to just make it work the way we want to make it work. And I think the idea of starting at the top, I need to look at it as solidify the people I want to keep and let the rest trickle away or not when it comes time to deal with it. But don't pick the people to leave and call them and not call the ones you want to keep. You know what I mean? I just need to get it started and
right.
just make a list of 50. If I don't know what the way to do it is, if I just pick the revenue or ROA or whatever and just go down the list.
Yep.
And just make a list and
do revenue. Just take revenue and go down the list. Those are the ones that count.
Just dollars.
Dollars.
Yeah, because I know part of the top 50 when I was looking at it, Kyle, like Sebring was on there, you know, Mark Ducharme. So I mean, so that, and we don't get a lot of revenue from that. So if any.
Yep. We call those fill or kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have basically come to Jesus meeting with them and say, hey, look, we love you. We want to do business. Here's our new model. We'd love to have you be part of it. And they go, great. We say, well, we're going to need to, you know, here's what we're going to need to, our minimum fee is $10,000 or $15,000. And they go, whoa, that's a little high. No, not for what you have. It's perfect.
So, hey, Rob, yeah, just sorry, Kyle. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was thinking, you know, creating the agendas in regards to creating the agendas. So basically what in my mind, I'm sitting here thinking the agenda pretty much should stay the same, except for like maybe one thing, like administrative thing changes each month. But, you know, like, you know, what's new with you? What's new with us? What can we offer? You know, how your accounts are doing this, that, you know, we, you know, touch base on, you mentioned retiring in 3 years. Is that still the goal? That kind of thing. Is that kind of what that agenda, and make it the same pretty much throughout so that they know each time?
Cindy, I don't want to scare you, but the truth is it becomes very customized for each person.
Each person, right.
Yeah. And so if you did the financial plan for me, we would then come up with an agenda of things that we didn't get to.
Okay.
So it would be, you know, we did the asset allocation. We talked about, the liability side of the balance sheet, but we really didn't we didn't go into it. Right.
Okay.
And we didn't talk at all about risk management. So we didn't go into life insurance and beneficiaries,
right,
and,
okay,
you know, long-term care and all that. So we can put those on the list, or we can just add those to when we do our, see, every month, remember we talked about that. Every month you have got a plan. You create the 24-month calendar of things you're going to talk about. So this month, for the next 2 months, we're going to talk about risk management. Okay. So we're going to talk about life insurance and,
or whatever it may be.
Whatever. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And even, you know, things like disability, they can be on there and just talk about it, because people, you know, need to know, even though you don't sell it, you need to know how much they have. And then remember, the other thing you're gathering at the same time is enthusiastically endorsed professionals in their life, right? So you're not going to have them all in the beginning. So one of the things is, you know, this month is talk about your CPA, talk about your estate planning attorney, you know. So we have things we need to fill in the blanks on from the financial plan that we didn't get to. And that creates our agenda. Plus the person, let's say that every year I agree that I'm going to give, you know, $20,000 of stock to Wake Forest University, right?
Yeah. It's funny you said that, because I just writing things down. I'm like, yeah, donations, you know, qualified,
right,
charitable distributions.
Yeah. Right. So when am I going to give that stock? Am I going to give it when at the bottom of the market in March, or today when the market's making new highs?
Yeah.
Okay, so all of a sudden we know we've got that obligation sometime during the year to give that stock away. We might want to put that on the agenda and keep it on there till we, and then this month, Kyle looks at it and goes, you know, market's a little high. Why don't we give some Google away? Just made a new high and we don't know where it's going to go, but.
You know, that's interesting, because, you know, assuming I plan to use OneNote just because of it's just handy and it's easy to use, but. You know, it could almost be one. I mean, the initial agenda is going to be populated from scratch the first time,
mm-hmm.
but then you're basically just pasting the previous agenda with whatever got added and take off whatever got completed. You know what I mean? So it's kind of,
right.
I guess,
yeah.
Now that I think about it, it's kind of like an ongoing thing, because I usually finish a meeting with, hey, for next time, you need to go get your Social Security estimates. We can estimate all we want, but it'd be much better to have the number. You know, go plug in your 401k, go do this, go get this state. You know what I mean? So there's always something to do.
And that's part of the executive summary, right?
Right.
See,
the executive summary then becomes part of the agenda for the next call.
Right.
Yep.
Follow up on Social Security. You see how you tighten the loop, and now you got a partner with the client who's not off flying around, not knowing what the heck he's supposed to be doing, but knows exactly what you can even assign responsibility on there.
Yeah.
Responsibility Cindy, responsibility Kyle, responsibility Rob Knapp, client.
Yeah, it'd be just like if you're a doctor, you know.
Right.
You know, for your next appointment, you need, you know, if you, it's like the ones on TV, you know, my 600 pound life, but you know, you gotta have, you gotta lose 30 pounds by your next 2 months or you can't have the surgery. You know, we can't implement the plan unless, you know, we have the plan.
Right. So what you get is a lot more compliance from the client. Cause you've done that where you've done a financial plan. You can't get the guy to do anything. 6 months later, he still hasn't done anything. Well, this will get them to comply because they're not going to want to be embarrassed every month that you call. Because you're doing what you said you were going to do. They're supposed to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
It sets up a very success-oriented cycle.
Yeah, that's interesting because, yeah, I find that a lot with the financial plans is like it kind of needs an ongoing check or there's no implementation feature. You know what I mean? So from those that I have been doing monthly calls with, which is only like 7 people, but from those that I'm doing it with, it's like every month they're just updating me. You know, like I called Logan the other day and he just switched companies, excited about it. And he said, oh, I guess I need to roll my 401k over. You know, it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm starting to see how it can.
Right.
It's kind of like seeing your specialist. You know what I mean? It's just part of the equation. And when you're seeing them monthly, there's no even reason for another FA to check in with them.
Right.
Because if another advisor walks up and prospects somebody who's our client and they say, yeah, I have a monthly call with them every third Thursday and we go over my financial plan, which is, you know, blah, 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 and has a Monte Carlo test. You know, they might remember one piece of it. The other advisor's not going to, oh, I can do more than that because there's really not much more you can do.
Right.
There's no holes to poke, you know, there's no holes to poke in that.
Right. And you're going to get better and better and better at it, Kyle. You can see you're getting better with 7 clients. You're already getting used to it. You get the idea of it. But, you know, just make sure you're involving Cindy and leveraging yourself. So you're not trying to do it all yourself because that's not the idea of Supernova. Supernova is not the idea of doing it yourself. The idea is to have roles and responsibilities and use teamwork. And then you get leverage and productivity because then you're not bothering Cindy with, oh, I've got this guy coming in this afternoon, you know, and you got to move the world to get ready for it. That might happen once a year, but it should never actually happen. And instead, you know, with some teams, it happens all the time. You know, oh, today I'm doing this. Oh, surprise, surprise. There should be no surprises and no disturbing her when she's working. And she should be doing, you know, doing all of this and keeping in the loop. And then when it's her responsibility, she sees it. It's right there. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what Cindy's going to do. This is what the client's going to do. Everybody does it. Next call, everybody's excited because you're the official accountability coach for everybody. And everybody likes it because that's why they go to a personal trainer. You know, they need an accountability coach. So
yeah, maybe for like the first, just real quick too, like for the first SOCSAT call, I introduce the concept and then I say, hey, you know, what general, whatever times are good for you. And then I'll have Cindy follow up with a calendar invite, whatever. We could almost have like a boiler. I mean, for the first meeting, it could almost be like once we get the meeting scheduled for a month from now, then we send out a packet that's like the asset aggregate. It's kind of like your folder, but you know, it's like, I'm thinking the first agendas and what do we need for the meeting is really going to be kind of the same for everybody. Cause it's going to be anything, basically just whatever we're missing from your information and financial plan.
Yeah, I'd be prepared every month to talk about performance, but I wouldn't make it, you know,
the top priority.
Yeah, unless the client wants it. If the client wants it, you can just do a quick summary of the of how we're doing.
Yeah, I find that once the plan's up and running, the performance kind of goes out the window. Because once
just don't, they don't, it just isn't that important to them, you know, day to day.
And once there's a financial plan that shows you you're on track and your projected income and the likely the 50th, you know how the financial tools work. Once that's up, it's really like, why even look at performance? The past doesn't matter. We've shifted the thinking to what happened in the past that I can attribute to you as my advisor to how are you going to help me in the future? And then the products just become the means to the end versus all we do, if that makes sense.
And you really become, and this is a difference, see, you become kind of their life coach in helping them make lifetime decisions, decisions that they're making all the time. My son is 16 and I had to pull him out of this public school and put him in private school because he's got a drug problem and his friends, you know, and I need a counselor. And you go, I've got one. I got this guy, he's great, or this gal, she's terrific. I'll email it to you and then I'll make a Zoom introduction so you can meet. And so you've just given that person hope in a world that he is lost in.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with financial planning or financial services or performance. It has with doing with, which is helping people run their lives more effectively because you get to talk to 100 people every month about their life. And so you're going to run into a million different situations that they're never going to run into maybe once in their life. But you run into it, you know, you've 20 times you've run into it. So you've got the guy, you've got the person has a heart attack, person has a this, person needs a new dentist, person needs this. You're constantly connecting them to people that are the best in your community. And that's a different role than, and guess what? When you connect all kinds of people and they figure out that you're referring them, pretty soon they refer you. The rule of reciprocity kicks in. So it's just a way of repackaging your job to be a center of influence rather than just being a financial advisor.
It's almost like repackaging repackaging the broker to be a consultant or advisor. It's like we're calling ourselves advisors, but we're functioning like brokers. And I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah,
kind of reorienting the conversation.
You want to be their consultant, their life coach, and help them with their life. And money is one of the tools, one of the most important tools. But they also have their physical and spiritual and all the other sides of their life. So you can help them with those things. So anyway, we run out of time, but good. I think this is maybe one of our best conversations.
Yeah, I think what I'm realizing is that we don't have to, one, wait for Keith to buy into all the little pieces to get it started, like I kind of let myself think before. And also, he doesn't have to change a lot of what he does because he's going to get less incoming calls as a result of this. And I think over time, he'll probably like it better. But if he still wants to call somebody on a given day, he can still do that. You know, they're not going to.
I call my brother almost every day. I'm still allowed to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Well, so I think what I'll do is I'll just make a realistic goal of like two or three people a day and then just make a list. Cause I think for me to keep thinking about it is just what's bogging me down. I just need to do it and get, like you were saying, just start doing it. But in a format that's consistent, cause the way I've done it with the six or seven that I have the monthly schedule with is more like I kind of just did it, you know, this is a more formatted way.
And keep Cindy in the loop and she'll keep you on track and also help you with your, you know, with scheduling. And so determine what days you want to do these calls. You know, make sure you know, if you had a magic wand, when would I do 2.5 calls a day. Do I want them all in the morning? Do I want them in the afternoon? Do I not care? Do I work 5 days a week? Do I work, you know, think about that before you get into this whole structure thing. And then you and Cindy set up it up, and then she'll say he's available these times. And then that's it. Otherwise, okay. You're in surgery.
No, that's interesting. Instead of just opening it up to the client,
right.
I see. I think what I've done is I've taken your entire program and I've piecemealed it into so many separate pieces that I've made it so complicated in my mind. It's kind of like you think you can think your way out of a problem, but you just sit there and stink, sit in the stink. But it's like, if you just do it all at once, it kind of just works itself out, you know.
It'll work great. I mean, we've done it with thousands of financial advisors, so you don't have to worry that this is somehow not a good system.
And just looking at it from the top, like what days do I want to make open? Here's the 3 days you can choose from. Pick a time.
Right. And it's best to have Cindy do it, not you, because you're going to try to be too accommodating. She's just going to say, these are the two times that are available. Which one do you want? You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So right. Kyle, right. Maybe next.
Have fun.
Thanks.
Yeah. Have fun with it. It is fun. It should be fun. You're talking to clients. That's good.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't happen. Right. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing. See ya.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Bye.